Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Sorry, late start at 7:30 because there were Odyssey bugs. It was starting multiple different streams. I was trying to delete them. Odyssey is really not figured out how to handle what happens if a creator creates a stream, but then it doesn't get approved. There was a bug. I was on a VPN. The Odyssey doesn't respond well to VPN. I try to delete the stream. Odyssey doesn't delete the stream. I create another stream without the VPN. The old stream comes to bug the new stream. All of this needs to be worked on, Odyssey. Potatoes from Peru, ladies and gentlemen. Different varieties of potato from Peru. That is way too varied. You have to select the best one at some point and stop cultivating these turds. It's not going to lead you to anything. Take the most productive one, abandon the others. That's how it's going to work. Genital says, sound is good, perfect, I'm happy to see it. There's one of these potatoes. It looks like it's looking at us with multiple eyes. It's like, hello, hello, oh, I'm tracking you. Disgusting. I don't know if Mama JF has seen those potatoes. She's been in Peru, I believe. Perhaps she has witnessed some of the potato diversity there. Shut up, he explained. Vox Day, you know, you'll remember my interaction with him from his statements about evolution, which I've totally destroyed back in the days. He was coming at me with the idea of fixation rate, and JF, the fixation rate makes it so that it's impossible that we come from a common ancestor with chimpanzees, and his error was to compare, to think that the fixation rate in bacteria is any indicator as to the fixation rate in sexual species. And I saw him coming. I didn't even know he was getting there, but I saw the errors he was making as he was making them in front of me, and I called it out at all point. I was like, no, you're making an error there. Bacteria fixation rate will not be anything on the order of magnitude of mammalian fixation rate, simply because we pack our genes in chromosomes. So I totally destroyed Vox Day on this. Now, Vox Day is so self-assured. Mama JF says, in Peru, you just eat yuca every day. And yuca, is that potatoes or is this something else? Because I'm wondering about these potatoes I was showing on the stream. Is it something you've seen? Is that yuca? Is some of these potatoes called yucas? Anyway, so Vox Day is so self-assured that when he's wrong, he goes extremely deep in his wrongness and he stands by it, even if the whole of Gab was trying to explain to him how wrong he is. And he says he's got more than 193 replies to his comment on debt. His comment is that the cancellation of student debt by Joe Biden is not inflationary, he believes. It is deflationary. Now, this is so wrong, and he doesn't understand why. Let's walk through his initial claim, and I will try to explain to him what apparently hundreds of people on Gab have already tried to explain to him. He says, I put up a post on Gab attempting to explain to boomer cons that eliminating student loan debt was not inflationary. I was unsuccessful on the basis of the many replies. Dear Boomer Con, eliminating student loan debt is not inflationary. It cannot be inflationary because in a credit economy, canceling debt reduces the quantity of credit money in the system. This is intrinsically deflationary. Love, Vox. And he says, so because I am a kinder, gentler Dark Lord, I decided to helpfully explain to this woefully ignorant souls the nature of credit money and how it relates to the monetary phenomena known as inflation and deflation. Dear Gab commenters, the undeniable fact is that I know considerably more about economics, debt, and credit than you do. Not only am I an economist by training, but I correctly predicted the 2008 financial crisis, and I am the author of the Labor Mobility Refutation of Free Trade. Frankly, most of you appear to be functionally retarded where economics are concerned, so I will type very slowly in order that a few of you might be able to follow along. Of course, we get the usual condescendence of Vox Day, especially when he's wrong, he tends to be even more condescending. He says, most money is debt and it comes from nowhere. It is not printed by the government. It is literally created from nothing when a loan is taken out. This is inflationary. When a loan is cancelled, forgiven, or written off, the debt literally vanishes. This is deflationary since it reduces the amount of money in the economy. If the loan is paid off, either by the debtor or by a third party, then no money leaves or enters the system. It is a neutral action. If interest is paid on the loan, this is mildly inflationary but trivial at current interest rates. That's literally how debt money works, and if you don't understand why L1 is bigger and more important than the M1 money supply, then please stop sharing your opinion on the subject of student loans because you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. So here's the problem with the thinking of Vox Day. First, he is right on certain things. He's right that in a credit economy, the volume of credit is the main inflationary drive to the extent that it represents bigger than the very money printing that actually happens. That's one thing. He's right, and L1 is important. But you have to understand what happens when the government decides all of a sudden all of these loans disappear. It's not like a bankruptcy. In the case of a bankruptcy, Vox Day would be absolutely right. In the case of a bankruptcy, the money would disappear. If a loan company has too many bankruptcies and cannot seize anything to compensate itself, then the company would disappear, would stop giving out loans, and then you'd have an actual retraction of the inflationary drive of this company and therefore of the economy as a whole. But when the government decides $10,000 canceled in student debt for everyone, first, if they decide to do it with the federal money, that means a debt has been canceled, but it's been added to the deficit of the government. The deficit of the government is a growth. It is a corresponding growth of debt. And therefore, what you really did is that you alleviated the pressure of debt onto individuals such that they don't feel as much pressure anymore and they can spend more. They can even loan more. Because if you remove $10,000 from someone, $10,000 of debt from someone who owed it but who was capable of paying it, that person can go get a loan and buy a car, and a bank would be clever to lend money to that person. So the problem of Vox Day is that he merely considers the accounting aspect and he considers it with blindfolds on. It's like, okay, will it reduce L1 for a second? Yes. But you just created an offer on the market. You just created a guy who was evaluated to be able to reimburse $10,000, but now he suddenly doesn't owe $10,000. So suddenly there are credit card companies, there are mortgage companies, and there are car loan companies who want to loan $10,000 to this guy. There's another section, which is the people who couldn't reimburse this loan. What happens to them? Well, to them, not much happens. Effectively, the accounting now represents the reality a little more in the sense that they owed $10,000, but they were never going to reimburse it. that changes a little less, but that may actually free them also to go on the private sector and get other loans. Similarly, if the government, if the federal government reimburses private entities that have loaned out this money, banks that would have loaned this money to students, then suddenly the banks find themselves with a big arrival of money from the government. And they suddenly have much less responsibilities to collect this money. They have much less fear that they won't collect it because the government just dropped it into their bank account. So suddenly they have a huge influx of money and they can loan more. So you, what you created is an inflationary drive that will extend itself over many months after the event itself. While the event itself may reduce L1 theoretically, we know what will happen as a result of it. You will have stimulated the credit market to loan more. And in fact, you have given a increased confidence for banks to loan money in the form of student loans, because they now know that whenever you get a Democrat government, you're going to have a chance of getting it reimbursed by the government itself, which is basically guaranteed money. Money that comes at no cost for collection, no cost for seizing, no cost for legal conflict. So, all in all, Vox Dei is wrong on inflation just as he was on evolution. You have stimulated a space for credit expansion in a way that will result in an inflationary drive when you reimburse student loan. How Vox Dei could even think that government dropping billions of dollars all of a sudden into the hands of banks or the hands of third tier collection agencies of all kind, if you think that this cannot have an inflationary effect, you are insane, Vox Dei. Firestarter sends a super chat. He says, actually, I am in the group that would be able to get my college debt paid off by Biden. Should I do it or let the lenders starve? Also, I haven't paid my college debt in the last 3 years. Well, the question, I can barely give you advice on this because it's always at the border of fraud, and I don't want to tell you, you know, don't reimburse your debt. But let me tell you what you are entitled to know about the debt market. If you do not own anything, there are no ways for a lender to collect. They cannot force you to work for them. Basically, slavery is illegal in the US. They cannot turn you into a slave. If you have a car, if you have a house, they can collect your car, your house. If you have money in your bank account, they can collect the money in your bank account, potentially with a judge decision. But if you really own nothing, if you eat mushrooms in the forest to survive, there are no legal ways for these companies to annoy you in any way. And if they ever call you, you can say, I do not consent to being called anymore. I just don't have money. And that's all you have to say. And as long as the calls are unconsensual, they cannot call you back. So basically, unless you want to accumulate property, it's very hard for a company to do anything about the debt that someone has decided not to reimburse. Now, you have to be especially careful when you talk about student debt, because student debt are attached to you until you die. So you're not only not going to have a house in the next 5-10 years, you're never going to have a house, you're never going to have any accumulation of money, you're never going to have the stock market, you're never going to have anything until you die. And when you die, a big negative number minus whatever you owe will disappear from the universe, and nothing will be given to your children. if you're willing to live that life, then the question of reimbursing your student debt boils down to principles and whether you want to act honorably with this government, who has the politicians and the people that we really do love and that we wouldn't want to defraud, right? Who actually owns student loan debt? That would be on Investopedia if Bucks Day wants to understand that this is not a debt that just gets written off. There are people who have lended that money. They expect to be reimbursed, and they will be reimbursed. Notice that we haven't seen a worker strike at the banks saying, "Oh my God, they're canceling our debt." And why is that? Why don't we hear the CEOs of bank going apeshit against Joe Biden? It's because they're very happy about what's happening. The debt will not be written off. The debt will be reimbursed by the government. So this money will come either from two sources: taxpayers or inflation, per inflation in the sense of money printing, or per inflation in the sense of expansion of the governmental deficit. These people are very happy about what's happening because they can trust much more the words of Joe Biden than the words of the average student loan taker. They will get the money, and this money will make it into the system, and therefore the decision of Joe Biden is inflationary. Exelus says, didn't students already get a free 10K scholarship at the beginning of the pandemic? I don't know. Maybe they did. I know that what I think that there's been a delay of having to reimburse your student debt at all since like more than a year now. So that's definitely there. They've already been paying interest on these student loans. Limited set of materials potentially covered by attorney-client privilege found in Mar-a-Lago search, Justice Department says. We're still not advancing in this case. We don't have the evidence that Trump has done anything wrong. And the reason all these write-offs are hidden from us, this affidavit has been hidden from us, a lot of people are saying, and I believe that. It's because the affidavit probably doesn't have any evidence that Trump ever obstructed or that he didn't want to return these documents. And so they have nothing. Firestarter says, I only owe 10K. My lender might even apply for the payout without telling me. Oh, well, if you owe 10K, you may end up being automatically included, but do make sure that you contact them because they say 8 million people will be automatically included. But for some people who are with certain lenders, they won't be automatically included and you have to apply. That's something you should apply because if you owe 10K, it's going to be exactly the amount they will reimburse. Europe plans emergency intervention in power market. As all hell breaks loose, German, French, 1 year forward, base load the electricity. Look at the price of electricity. Wow. Tenfold increase. It moved from about $100. I don't know what unit of electricity that is, but it moved up to 1,000. Can you imagine a 10x increase in your electricity bill? I can't. I'm unplugging the washing machine. Mama JF is starting to wash our clothes in the bath if I ever see an increase of 10x on my electricity bill. Woke army. Why are heavily armed Antifa terrorists surrounding drag queen event with kids? You can see the left here appreciating their Second Amendment right. They were doing some drag queen, family friendly, LGBT, whatever kind of crap it was. And you can see the little local Antifa benefiting from their Second Amendment right here. I mean, at this point, it looks like civil war to me. Not that I'm against Second Amendment rights, but when you are to the point where I think that a right-wing guy with a Trump hat passing there might get shot, like there might be a little conflict and they might start yelling at him and they might start pointing the gun at him. I wouldn't live in cities like this. If your city can gather a bunch of armed Antifa, it's time to move to a smaller city. Forex Shark says, electricity pumping like a shitcoin. And we thought we had to buy Shiba Inu, but no, we should have bought electricity. Electricity maintained in a superconductor. John Drake says, Mama's next gift will be a washboard. Look at the bright side, Mama. You'll get some buff arms. I mean, we haven't seen massive increases. We've seen little increases, like in line with inflation. But I haven't seen a 10x increase in Canada in electricity. So somehow they got it sorted out. It's really a European and I think American problem to a certain extent, because in certain places of America, the electricity production is very dependent on natural gas. I didn't know 40% of your electricity is produced through natural gas. That is insane. Insane that it didn't strike you. We need to develop some other thing. Two-thirds of nations on the planet are at or below replacement fertility. Chris Lingen says, you may be missing a few things. First, the statement is meaningless. It fails to mention population groups, instead referencing nations. Human reproduction affects population genetics, and that's the issue. White population genetics is being ruined by engineered miscegenation. This genocidal maneuver is being pulled on no other major population group. Secondly, we need more human reproduction among our precious so-called minority is raw, reeking bullshit that would fool only the hungriest fly in the cow pasture. Thirdly, when nations aggressively overpopulate, conditions worsen and people start dying, that's nature's way of arresting runaway population growth, and so on. The bottom line is that if a given nation's population is decreasing, then there's no reason to import its members to Western nations. They made their own bed, and now they can stay where they are and make it right for a change instead of trying to steal someone else's bed. The possibility of Caucasian redemption still exists, but it will take knowledge and resolve. Whether people choose to accept the knowledge and generate the resolve is entirely up to them. If they can manage it, then a bright future opens before them. If they can't manage it, then they die, and that may well be best given their lack of adaptivity and fitness, except that the rest of the human race will quickly follow them to extinction. Obviously, we need racial consciousness and reproductive quality control, which are simultaneously rejected as evil by disingenuous practicing self-selection within their own groups at our own expense, and two, an apparently brain-dead Christian right, which insists that minority population control is eugenics and against the will of God, and that all a decent, God-fearing white male needs to do is get him a good job, marry him a nice girl, and play catch-up in the breeding department. I've been critical of Chris Lingen when it comes to his CTMU stuff. Woo-woo, a rapper, philosophical rapper that doesn't really bring anything interesting, novel. But I fully agree with this Gab post. I think he has great insight on the problems of the sustainability of demographic trends. There were many discussions around. It seems like if you take it for the next 50 years, 93% of the population growth worldwide is Africa. And that's a big problem, the fact that they are constantly increasing their numbers, and our countries are reacting to this by saying, "Oh, come home, come here, come here." That is a big problem. The fact that we don't have our own growth and our own boundaries also as to how much will we let a country basically populate us by overbreeding in their own countries and then sending us their people. That is a big problem. And people were saying there are some people on the right who were arguing on the internet that, well, that doesn't matter. It's in Africa. It does matter because everywhere where there's a surplus, there's a drip. Everywhere where, if you put too much liquid in a cup, eventually the cup drips and leaks, and the water gets outside of the cup eventually. And the same is true of human beings. Now, if it wouldn't matter if we had control of our politics and we were able to decide that we have a very severe immigration policy, but we clearly don't. So it does matter what happens in Africa to that extent. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, "What's the secret to fighting fatigue? Why do I go through periods of seemingly endless energy and then weeks where I could sleep all day long?" I don't think it's fatigue. True fatigue, I think that in our society we don't experience it much. The idea of really being exhausted by work, that is fatigue to me. And that is something that will pass. I think that what you're pointing to, weeks of being more down, I think that's more like depression-like. I'm not saying you have depression here, but I think when you have like more than many weeks, more than a week, more than 2 weeks, if you have more than this where you are down and less, you feel less energetic, you feel like doing less things, there's two approaches to it. One, you can accept that it's like this and you can think it's part of the natural processes. I have super productive weeks sometimes on the farm. I build the greenhouse. Like I look at the greenhouse I built and I'm like, how the heck did I do this? When did I do this? How did I find the time to lift every single one of these big pillars and chop them at the right size and nail them correctly? It's unbelievable because sometimes I barely have time or barely have the desire to go just attach my tomato plants for 1 more foot high. And yet I build the freaking greenhouse they're into. So you can accept the natural cycles of life and say, that's how my genes have been set. Because perhaps my body is recuperating. Perhaps it's not so much worth going outside. Perhaps I have stuff to do with my family. Perhaps I can spend that time inside, cozy, educating my children, whatever it is that you have to do inside. Or you can decide that it's too much, that you've been down too much. And that you need to go a little up, and that you are basically depressive to a pathological extent. Now, how to handle depression? Well, there are various ways. Some people will change their alimentation, nutrition. You can also go for SSRIs. I know that they are demonized on the internet, but the fact is that there are lots of people who take SSRIs and it just helps them be a little more boosted, a little more energetic. And there are very subtle new drugs that you can try that are designed for depression, but that they don't hit as hard as the old ones. And they really just help you a little bit. You'll have to consult your you'll have to consult with your doctors for this, but there's plenty of option. SSRIs, if you want to go into the more non-SSRIs, there's duloxetine. Those are subtle drug that you barely feel the effect, but they remove this little down part, those weeks of down feeling. Several killed as Baghdad's green zone. Oh no, I had other super chats to resolve, sorry, but I got brought into the news already. Quite. I sent two super chats. His first one, $21. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, two-part comment, JF. Yesterday, your discussion of the hunger signal using the analogy of twerking on a cop car was very funny. I hope it makes it into your book, The Moral Signal. So your book will be about important scientific thinking, but also be a time capsule to the day and age we live in. It was humor. I wouldn't put it in The Moral Signal because when you write a book first, you want it to be outside of the current day thing. You know, you want the book to be readable in 20 years without too much cringe. And secondly, I have to be extremely careful in books. Here we can make a joke and you guys can understand it, and there may be a little funny component to it that comes that comes to those who can understand my language. I cannot take the risk of having a book that has too much comedy of that sort, because the book could be banned, or you know, it could be not taken seriously. A book must be a kind of solemn statement about science, in my view. Quite sends $21 also. He says, second part of the comment, I wonder in the future, will twerking still exist? Will we still have automobiles? I don't know, but thinking of future intellectuals enjoying your book in a dystopian world, wondering what is a car, or was our national dance a joke back then, seems funny to me. That's a good question. What is, because there's an end to everything. There is nothing that lasts forever in the universe. Everyone ends up dying someday. And cultural trends must die too. So that's a good question. Oh my God, is the show working? I think we may be offline or something. Stream is gone. Wow. Some people who had their window opened are still receiving me, but we cannot receive new audience because the stream kind of went in bug mode. But Forex Shark is watching and he's receiving us live. But personally, I've refreshed the browser because I saw that the chat was totally off. Wow. There seems to be too many bugs tonight on Odyssey. What are we gonna do? Well, I'm still receiving super chats. Web Phoenix sends $5. He says $5. Woohoo! Oh man, oh that's too bad. Listen, guys. I said what I had to say about Vox Day. Perhaps it is better that I stop the show because this show without the input of the crowd, I don't like it. Yeah, I think I'm going to cut the show tonight. Anyways, the rest was all news, basic news. I'm trying to see that there's no way for me to fix this. I'm trying to get access to the chat through some indirect way. Catodoc says, can see the show, but regular chat is broken. Listen, guys, I said what I had to say about Vox Day. Let's do a longer show tomorrow. Tomorrow, I have some governmental red tape to go resolve. All good stuff, but I'll be gone all day. So I'll come back and then we'll do a longer show. We'll do more chilling. Quickly, perhaps I will re-upload the show so that people who are watching us online offline can see basic news. What I had was several killed as Baghdad's Green Zone unravels. White House denies embassy evacuation reports. Twitter scorches Kathy Hochul for telling Republicans to get out of New York. She's got to go. So yes, I think we should get out of New York. So I'm not insulted by what she says there. And I also had this news that was brought to my attention by Tim Pool initially, but I didn't know there was a Reclaim the Net article about it. YouTube quietly drops some COVID censorship policies, but Banchan, who's explaining, look, I have been vindicated because the thing I've been banned for, YouTube has removed it from their rules. So these people are not getting their channel back. I mean, it's YouTube bureaucracy. It is what it is. I didn't expect them to remain consistent. But their rules were so severe that they ended up going after the truth ultimately. So that's it for tonight, boys. We'll be making it short, and tomorrow let's do a longer show. Much love to everyone, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Sorry for the Odyssey bugs tonight. Thank you.